Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMulder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who's jealous that she's stuck at home while her partner is on vacation. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We are only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right, I'm going to dive into today's letter. It is from Crybaby, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing to us from boring old America. Hi, Sam and Sierra. Let me start off by saying I'm so thankful I found your podcast after my last big breakup, which feels like eons ago now. You both give such lovely, nuanced advice that has really helped me grow and mature in all aspects of my relationships. Okay, quickly onto my question, which is essentially, how do I cope? Here's the context.
I don't know.
My she, her partner of almost 1 year, he, him, is currently overseas backpacking on a solo trip, which is so fun and exciting, for him. Uh-huh. He's only been gone for a few weeks, and the whole duration of the trip is about 2 months. We get to stay in touch often enough, some texting in the morning and at night. There's a 14-hour time difference. And we've been able to have a phone call once a week. The first few days he left were so hard, but it started to get a little better. Don't get me wrong. It's not like my entire life revolves around my partner. I want to read that like, don't get me wrong. It's not like my entire life revolves.
Just 97% of it.
That would be me. But the more comfortable he gets overseas and the more fun he's having, the worse I feel, which is diabolical of me. I would feel so awful if he was having a bad time. Like, of course, I want him to enjoy his trip, but it's been really hard for me to hardly hear from him. And the few texts lately are about how hungover he is and what a great time he's having. I'm struggling with feeling really jealous because, one, he gets to do a fun trip while I stay here and work. And two, the said fun he's having is without me. I also keep getting these little tiny insecure thoughts of what if he meets someone or what if he cheats on me? And like, yes, I also do really trust him. And yes, I can't control others' actions. So if he does, then so be it. Hey, you must be listening to Just Break Up. But it's making me feel so sad and insecure and a little pathetic. He does say he misses me and loves me, but the anxious part of my brain is like, no, LOL, he doesn't. I feel worse when I talk to my friends and family and they're like, oh, wow, I would never want my partner to go on a 2 month solo trip in another country.
So
hello.
Helpful.
Obviously, I didn't want him to go, but it's his life. And what kind of partner would I be if I didn't support him? I'm struggling between wanting to be A, the cool girl who is just totally fine with the situation and ignores my own needs. B, the needy girlfriend who doesn't want him to party, etc. And C, just push him away so that if anything happens, it hurts less, which is dumb. Of course, it would still hurt. Anyway, that's why I'm turning to you two in hopes that you will have some kind of advice for little old crybaby me before I spiral and hurt my own feelings even more. Thank you for reading this. As everyone says, it feels better just getting it off my chest a little. A true sign to begin journaling if there ever was one.
All right,
before you say anything, Sam, hurting my own feelings is like the pendant. It's the flag of the anxiously attached. It's like, help me before I hurt my own feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad to watch. I'll tell you that. Like, it's just like, oh no. Why is this happening?
Yeah. No, we're real good at it.
Slash also, totally understand why this is happening. 2 months away from your partner while he's having a great time and you're like, I don't know, making spreadsheets. Like, I can totally, totally understand why you're feeling a lot of different feelings about this. And like, this is super disruptive to your relationship as well, to go from like being in the same space with somebody to being able to only talk with them in the morning at night with like a 14-hour time difference is really challenging. Like, I I really appreciate how much you're trying to hold that he gets to make his own decisions and he gets to have fun. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything about you or your relationship. But I also just want to like say, yeah, this would be a challenge, I think, for lots of people in relationship. And you're not
me.
Weird.
I'd be totally chill.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'd be chilling.
Do not lie to people. That is so inappropriate.
That's the funniest joke I've made in the 6 years of doing this podcast.
So I think what Sierra and I are going to talk about a little bit is just like helping to reframe some of the like blame and guilt and shame that you're putting on yourself for having like a normal human feeling, which like to be clear is deeply relatable. And to think about like, what does it look like for you to look at your own needs or like look at your own emotions in this and recognize that they also deserve to take up some space in how you and perhaps, depending on who you ask, your partner also deals with this particular moment in your relationship. But we're going to get into that in just a minute. Before that, we're going to take a quick break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year, there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets, sweaters, and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Quince has things like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. This past month, I treated myself to a pair of new slippers because I'm in that hashtag mom life era of my life, in which I am never not in slippers. And these are 100% Australian shearling lined clog slippers. And I love that they're slip on, but they have those durable rubber outsoles. They're super cushy, super comfortable, but I feel like I can run outside to like take the trash out in them while also like staying warm and active in the house.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/justbreakup for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/justbreakup to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/justbreakup.
All right, my darling, welcome back. And echoing Sam's sentiments, you know, this anxiety that you're feeling makes a lot of sense to us. Mm-hmm. It's not fun sitting at home. It can be really emotionally inciting to have your partner have a ton of fun literally across the world in a different time zone than you. Talk about like literally a potion to make me feel insane. The ingredients. My partner, I can't reach my partner. Ugh. I don't have consistent contact with them. I can't see or touch them. They're having a ton of fun and there's alcohol involved. Are you? Oh, and God. I have to go to work. I have like a professional obligation and I can't just stew in my feelings. Triggered.
Everything about it is triggering.
I'm literally shaving my head and living in a yurt because I just, I'll lose it. That would make me lose it.
No, for sure. No, absolutely. I like the one, also, the note that I wrote on this is like, it feels really reasonable to be jealous that your partner is off having an amazing time and you're at work. Like, I think that that, you know, like that's a really normal thing to feel. And I think that lots of us feel that not just about our partners, but about like when our friend goes on a trip and has a great time and keeps sending us pictures of how much fun they're having. And we're like, whatever, like I'm here, I am in a snowstorm or whatever. Right. Or the idea of like, yeah, he's going out and having all of this fun without me, his person, right? Like we should be having fun together. That seems like the best thing to be doing. And I think that both of those reactions, like that jealousy and that like feeling of missing out, are like so deeply relatable and normal. And you call yourself diabolical for having them. You know what I mean? Like you are having such a feel, like a big feeling about the feeling. And this is like so normal. This is like, I deeply relate to all of this, but like so many of us, we have a difficult feeling that comes up for us of jealousy, of anger, of sadness, whatever it might be. And then what we do is then we have a meta feeling about it, right? Where it's not just like, oh, I'm jealous. Oh, that sucks. It's, oh, I'm jealous. And because of that, I'm a terrible person. And I should feel so much guilt and shame about feeling jealous of the fact that my partner's having a good time without me. Right. And now it's like, well, what are we actually trying to get to? Like, what is the soothing that we need in the moment? Right. Because if you're like, I'm having a hard time because I'm jealous of the fact that he's having fun without me, that's one thing that we can soothe, that we can support, right? But if we're saying I'm a terrible person for that, then suddenly we're talking about something that isn't actually at the core of what you're feeling, which is an understandable jealousy of what's going on and an understandable fear that like something's going to happen with this person who you love, who is out of your sight for like 2 months and like out of contact. Like, I think it's really reasonable for these feelings to be coming up. And I don't think you're a terrible person because of them. And if we spent more times sort of sitting in the feeling of it and saying like, oh, it is really hard to feel this jealous, right? Like it is really hard to feel like I'm missing out this much. And it's okay that I'm feeling jealous. It's okay that I'm feeling difficult about this, right? Like those are normal and understandable emotions to have. So what do I need? What do I need to help like placate or smooth or take care of myself in the face of those emotions, rather than saying I shouldn't be having that feeling? Because that's never worked. Unfortunately, I have tried to will myself out of every emotion I've ever experienced before in my life. And it has unfortunately never worked.
Yeah. I've tried to will myself out of relationships and that didn't work either. It just, something's coming to mind, like when I described like how, challenging this situation would be for me. And I was like, oh, I would just feel so insane. I want to say, like, you know, we say like, this is hard and you could do hard things. I also want to say like, this is making you feel batshit, right? And also, I can feel batshit and make thoughtful decisions around it. I think that's going to be my new phrase, is like, this feels batshit and I'm capable of feeling batshit and acting in according to my values, or like accessing my higher self or whatever we want to say there, is like Sam said, like welcoming in those feelings, recognizing that like they're so reasonable to have. And so much of what I've learned with my anxious attachment is like, it's not that I'm not going to feel batshit when challenged in this way. It's that I can feel that way and not act on it, or act on it in a way that is productive and healthy and not diabolical and destructive, right? I can validate these feelings and act on them accordingly instead of suppressing them, starving them, and having them totally blow up and act out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that like the acting out period, like piece is important, right? Cause like for me, so much of my acting out when it comes to emotions, when I like, is that I haven't done the work to see my own feelings and things, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Right. So then I'm like suppressing it, or I'm pretending it's not happening. I'm not like giving myself the validation of like, this is hard. And so then what I try to do is I try to show other people how hard it is by acting out, by, you know, texting them a snide thing, right? By mm-hmm. not talking to them.
Look at me suffering. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Like stop going out, right? Like don't do that because I don't want to have to experience this hard emotion, right? Like all of those things are from not taking care of what's actually happening for me, which is that I'm having like a really understandable and deeply relatable reaction to something that is really challenging, something that's very difficult, something that would be challenging to even the most securely attached people in the world. You know, like that tending to ourselves rather than undermining our own feelings can help mitigate, like can help us make better decisions about those feelings, you know, so that we're not just acting out and instead we're saying, okay, I clearly need some tending in this moment. So where do I want to get that rather than pulling it, extracting it from the people around us?
Yes, exactly. Okay, so this is the one piece of, not tough love that I have for you, but the one thing that I want to push against and the one thing I want to challenge you in this. The rest of it is like, I'm going to challenge you to feel your feelings and validate yourself. You know what I mean? Like, and this let me challenge you in a little bit more of an uncomfortable place. At some point in the letter, you say, you know, one of your options is going to be, I'm trying to be a chill girl or a cool girl who's all fine with this and doesn't get her needs met.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, those aren't your only three options. Like Sam pointed it out in your notes, I think. Like you think your options are being a chill girl and ignoring your needs, freaking out.
Yeah. Being the needy girlfriend. Yep.
Being the needy girlfriend or pulling away so that it doesn't hurt less. Those aren't your only options. I don't know if you want to speak more to that before I keep going.
No, you go and then I'll.
Yeah.
I'll temper <Okay. laughs> whatever you're about to say to our poor anxiously attached people.
You know, I'm hardest on myself and my people. Okay. So the one thing I want to say is you said like not getting your needs met. I am actually deeply curious if you can articulate to me what your needs are. What are your needs in this situation? Because I know that when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm feeling triggered in this way about my relationship, when my partner's out there enjoying other people, enjoying other experiences with me, I would be feeling the same anxieties as you are. And I would feel needs. I would feel this need being unmet, right? But I'm not sure if I would immediately consciously be able to articulate what that need is. You know, I'm being genuine. Like, what is the need? Is the need that he's not on this trip? Is the need that you want him to text you and miss you more? Is the need that he doesn't drink? Is the need that he doesn't have a good time with you without you? You know, like, I'm being genuine because I've had to ask myself the same questions. I've had to ask myself, you know, earlier in our relationship when I was more prone to these anxieties, when my wife would go out and have a great time with these friends that she really valued, I'd have to ask myself, like, do I need my wife to not have good friendships? Is that what I want to make me feel secure? Is that the need that's not being met right now? And there's two things I'm trying to highlight in this mental exercise. Number one, sometimes our needs are actually just our anxiety and our fears tricking us into thinking that they're needs, right? Because our, you know, we don't want to feel our fear. We don't want to feel our anxiety. And so we mistake them for a need. Oh my God, I'm triggered. I'm stimulated. I'm feeling my fear. I must not be getting my needs met because I don't feel safe, right? Your fear isn't, or your discomfort isn't always a need. Number one. Number two, sometimes our needs in life just aren't met. And I'm not trying to say that in like a pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like toughen up. I'm actually trying to say like in the most feelings, sentimental, emotional bullshit way, we feel so much. And sometimes in relationships, the needs that we have to make us feel safer or more secure are not going to be met. Sometimes they're just not met. For example, like I could tell myself, I need my wife to never be attracted to someone else in order for me to feel confident in my appearance, right? I would need that in order for this to happen. And guess what? That need is never going to be met because my wife is a complex human being with a complex system of the desire in her body. You know what I mean? And getting our needs met, sometimes we just don't get them. So why I'm saying that is because us anxiously attached folks, when our nervous system is engaged, when we're being challenged, like this would be a challenge to me, we're flooded with this anxiety to get our needs met. Oh, I'm starving. I'm not feeling good about myself. I don't know how to self-soothe. I don't know how to make this better. It feels like this gaping need, this gaping wound. And sometimes I just want us anxiously attached folks to know that you can have that wound, you can have that need, and you don't actually have to meet it. Like you don't, like in a couple days, this need will feel less loud. This need will feel less jagged. This isn't to say you don't deserve to be supported. It isn't to say that you need to carry this need silently, you know, and not share this struggle with your partner. Honestly, I have gotten through my anxious, or like I work on my anxious attachment because of conversations I have with Sam about my life and about all y'all's lives. Like I work on my anxious attachment style by talking about it. And I think what our anxious attachment style does is lie to us and say that all of these needs are very immediate and they're threatening to our safety, right?
For sure.
And your safety isn't threatened right now. Your comfort is.
Yes, absolutely. And also, like, I think that the idea of you can't have fun without me is not actually a need, right? Like the need is that you want to feel more connected to this person, right? Like the need is you want to feel loved by them. And your brain is telling you that like the only way to prove that is by him not having fun without you. But that's not actually what the need is, right? Like the need is about human connection. The need is about being seen and having your emotions understood, right? Like that's what's actually at the core of it. And I think Sierra's right. Sometimes it's like, no, the need is that person never looks at another human in their life ever again, right? Because that's like what our brain is telling us is the actual problem. But it's not, right? Like the problem is that like I'm feeling unseen or I need some sort of validation. And being able to talk through some of that can actually make it easier to get those needs met. So then instead of being like, I need you to never go on a trip, you can say, I want you to go on this trip. I also really need to feel connected to you. Like that's important to me. So what are the things we can do to make sure that we feel connected to each other?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think what the point that I'm trying to get across, and I hope it doesn't come across like too insensitively or too like bluntly, but I'm thinking about me and my body and my anxiety and my relationship. Like in the beginning, I think I would have had to lean on my wife more for us to strategize on how I would feel supported and connected even in challenging times, right? And I think that there comes a, like, for example, if I'm imagining that my wife wants to go away on a 2-month trip, I think I would want to give her that gift of that trip without making it about having to heal my wound for me. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
And I'm saying that from a perspective of a very secure relationship that has gone through a couple more years of this practice, you know. And we were long distance and all I do is talk about anxious attachment styles. So it's like literally part of my everyday conversations. So I don't want to come off as too hard. And also I know that my anxious attachment style lies to me about the immediacy of my wound, about my need and how I can't self-soothe it on my own. I'm kind of spiraling right now, but I just want to, it's, it's a yes and situation. It's like you deserve to be supported and acknowledged in how challenging this is, because it is challenging, period. Mm-hmm. No question. Mm-hmm. None of us are doubting that. And in the same moment, our fears and anxieties are so loud that sometimes it's so hard to figure out what are your actual needs under all of that. And what I have discovered in my journey is that my needs are a lot more manageable than my fear and my anxiety made me think. Does that make sense? So like, yeah, I don't know. I'll let you take over.
No, absolutely. I think what we're getting at is that there's another option here. That's not just like cool, chill, nothing bothers me, versus like, I need you to not have fun and never go out and come home immediately. Right. Like there's a middle ground here. And I think part of it is about you spending time with what your actual understandable emotions are about this trip, and also not pretending like those emotions don't exist in your relationship with your partner, which doesn't mean that I want you to go and be like, hey, it sucks so much that you're away and I hope you have a terrible time because it makes me feel bad when you have fun without me, right? But I think it's really reasonable for when you two are talking on the phone and he's like, how are you doing? For you to say, this is actually kind of hard for me because I'm so happy that you're going on this trip and I'm so excited for you. And also, it's hard to be at work while you're like out having fun. And it makes me miss you to see that you're having like all of this fun stuff and I have to stay at home. And I am so excited that you get to do this, but also like it's hard for me sometimes, right? Like, I think that's like such a reasonable thing to say, because it's not about him and what he's doing. It's about like what emotions are coming up for you around it, right? You're not talking about how he needs to fix it by doing something different. What you're saying is, here's how I'm feeling, and inviting him to hold that feeling with you, right? To say like, yeah, I can imagine how hard this is. Or, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that you're feeling this way and I can totally understand why. Or is there something I could do to help you make you feel more connected while I'm out, right? Like, if this is truly a healthy and supportive and functional relationship, right? Like, those would be the responses that I would hope from somebody if you share with him that this is what's going on for you. Because I don't think that you need to diminish and mute every single emotion that you're having about this trip just because it could possibly make him think about you not having fun while he's having fun. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want you to have to diminish yourself that much. But I also agree with Sierra that like there is a point where you can start to be like, this isn't actually about what's going on with you. It's about you trying to control behavior, or it's about you trying to act out your own feelings of insecurity by telling him what he can and can't do, right? Like, there is a middle ground here. And I would encourage you to look at that and spend some more time in that, whether that's now while he's on his trip, which is what I would do, or after he gets back, which apparently is what Sierra would do.
We argued about it before.
I don't think you just have to sit in silence and be like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm so glad you're having fun. Like, yes, I'm so glad you're having fun. And also, ooh, work was really rough today because I just kept thinking about how like you're having a great time and I'm like making all these spreadsheets.
I'm feeling insecure. I think what Sam and I talked about before recording that we disagreed on is Sam thinks you should say it now. And my initial instinct was to wait until he got back from the trip to be like, hey, that was really hard for me and these are the reasons, but this is what I'm working on. But I do think you could and should bring it to him now and say, you know, I'm having a hard time because I miss you, because this is bringing up a lot of insecurities in me that I didn't know were there. I want you to have fun. I really support this trip and I don't want to distract from that. And I'm over here having a hard time. Like, that feels totally appropriate to me. It's the acting out. It's the requiring our partners to heal the wounds for us that isn't always sustainable in the long term. Like, we have to learn how to feel this discomfort. We have to learn how to bring the discomfort to our partners and say, hey, I hope you can support me on this. I'm dealing with it on my own. And also, I want to share it with you. You know, like there's a balance there that we have to figure out.
And like those types of, our relationships are interdependent. They are. And so like reaching out to our partners and asking for affirmation or support in a difficult time for us is not actually a problem, right? It's a problem if we're doing it all the time and if we're like trying to control their behavior or whatever it might be. But like the idea that you saying to your partner, hey, I'm so glad that you're having a great time. And it's also really hard for me because I miss you. Can you tell me just today, like how much you love me, right? Or can you send me an extra text maybe this week at some point, just like letting me know you're thinking about me? Like that would be meaningful for me, right? Like that's so reasonable and it's not controlling. But I think for anxiously attached people who have been told over and over again that they're controlling and that they should be able to like do it themselves or whatever.
It's right? The pendulum like, swing. It's like,
absolutely,
it's like,
yes,
we act way out or we try to carry it all by ourselves because we're afraid of pushing our partners away.
Yes. And there's
I'm
a
not
middle
advocating yes. for that. I'm just at, I know that when I'm spiked like this, when I am activated in my fear, I know that my needs get really confused, you know, like,
for sure.
What do you really need from your partner right now? What would make you feel better that isn't him not having fun? Because you know that you want him to have fun. I also want to really quickly say your friends and family are not helpful. And I also want to say, I don't know your friends and families, so I'm just going to make a huge sprawling assumption about them. It seems like they're not as emotionally mature as you are because you are encouraging your partner to do this independent thing and you are feeling your feelings that this trip brought up and you're analyzing them and saying, how do I want to react to them? Right? Two things that signal to me extreme maturity, right? Not that you know the answers all the time, not that you don't get triggered, but that you're like, whoa, this is bringing up a lot and I'm trying to figure out which way I want to respond. Your friends and family being like, oh my God, I would never let my boyfriend off his leash, like doesn't support what you're trying to do here is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
And I want to reward you for it. You know, I want to say like, good job. Like your boyfriend should do this trip. It sounds cool. And also it would trigger the fuck out of me.
For sure. Absolutely. All this to say that like, we know that this is really complicated. We know that all of these feelings are coming up for you. And we want you to just say like, this feels hard because it is hard, right? Like this is challenging, or you're feeling challenged because it's challenging. And Sierra and I are in it with you. And we know that like trying to find the right path forward is difficult in this moment. And we just want to say you're doing a great job, right? You're trying to hold a lot of different realities and nuances of this situation. And we think that you should be allowed to sort of take up some space in the feelings that you're feeling about how this trip is going without necessarily being needy or controlling or whatever other word we might want to use, right? You're not diabolical for feeling the way that you're feeling.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my love, we adore you and we hope this helps.
Thank you so much for writing. We love you.
Okay, so it's Friday, which brings us to the blind date segment of our show. Every Friday episode, we like to set you up with something that we love that we want to send you home with. And this week, we are sending you home with
Beyonce's new album, Cowboy Carter. In case you live under a rock,
ladies and gentlemen.
And haven't heard about this amazing new album that came out. I love it. I've been listening to it for like nonstop since it came out a few weeks ago. You know, I think that Sierra and I both have like a strong sort of tie to country music. I certainly do. And also like recognize a lot of the ways in which country music is really toxic. And have always, for me, I've always been like seeking out places where I can feel sort of a connection to the music that my parents and my family loved, while also recognizing that like there needs to be space for voices that are more inclusive and that are telling stories that are not just about like toxic heterosexual relationships and small towns and all of that. And this album is so beautiful and perfect. I cried the first time that I heard it because I was like, it's so wonderful to have somebody who I respect and admire so much putting into the world something that is both country and also like so different than anything else that's out there. and just the amount of work and labor that Beyoncé had to do in order to be able to put out an album like this, I think is really important and telling. And also, like, there's no skips. Like, honestly, every song on the album is just so good. Just like, I have it on loop. Like, it just, like, it ends and then it starts again, and I just keep listening to it because it is so beautiful and wonderful and magical. So if you haven't checked it out yet, which I'm sure all of you have because you don't live under rocks, but I mostly just wanted I wanted an excuse to be able to talk about how wonderful and meaningful this album is. So please check it out. Cowboy Carter by Beyoncé. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to our office hours, which are when Sierra and I hop on Zoom with anyone who wants to join us, and we talk about things and answer people's questions. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media, original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and his music. And remember, you can work to heal your wounds and also ask for support from others. You can carry your burdens and have others help you carry them. And you can have needs that you tend to. And you can also question what those needs are really asking of you. You contain multitudes. And if all else fails,
just break up.